This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
It's Monday, January 24th. Good morning and welcome back to the second hour of Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us this morning across America on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Remember that every day is a gift from the Lord. On Mondays, traditionally, we pray for the souls of our relatives and our loved ones who are being purified in purgatory on their way to heaven. Today is also the feast of St. Francis de Sales, Bishop and Doctor of the Church. We're going to have a lot more about this spiritual giant coming up at the bottom of the hour. I want to bring in my partner, Glenn Leverance. What's the big story here that we're talking about this morning, making headlines?
Well, John, the world keeping its eyes on Ukraine. Russia continues to mass troops and material along the border of Ukraine. The U.S. has encouraged U.S. citizens not to travel to Ukraine in light of what could happen in the very near future. Also, less essential embassy employees and embassy families being evacuated out of Ukraine this week as well. Meanwhile, Ukrainian officials say, well, that might not be quite necessary, but we're taking no unnecessary precautions there, I guess. Also, some NATO troops could be moving closer to Ukraine. Ukraine, not a NATO country, but neighboring countries are. And so some U.S. troops, as well as troops from other NATO countries, could, John, be a little closer to the scene.
The big question for a lot of people is, why are we so concerned about Ukraine to begin with? What is our interest as Americans in Ukraine?
Well, John, I think, it's 2022. For one European country to try and take over another European country just doesn't seem to be the way we want to be doing business right now. Ukraine has asked for NATO membership. It's an ally of sorts, not a member of NATO, but NATO countries do border Ukraine. And so naked Russian aggression not appreciated, and there'll be some severe sanctions from a variety of countries against Russia if this does happen. But again, this, you know, hits a little closer to home maybe than some things in other parts of the world.
Absolutely. And of course, we need to follow the Holy Father's lead and continue to pray that there be peace and that this possible war never starts.
Yeah, absolutely. Wednesday, Holy Father calling for a worldwide day of peace in Ukraine.
On a lighter note, for us sports fans and football fans, it was quite a weekend of NFL divisional playoff football, Glenn.
Oh, it certainly was. All four games ended on the last play of the game. We had three field goals that won it for underdogs and another field goal that sent it to overtime. And some were saying last night's game between the Bills and the Chiefs might have been one of the best NFL games ever. Certainly in terms of offensive excitement, 31 points scored after the two-minute warning in the fourth quarter.
It was absolutely unbelievable. I totally agree with that. What a dramatic finish for the Kansas City Chiefs. Quarterback Pat Mahomes with the game-winning touchdown to win it 42-36 over the Buffalo Bills in overtime, as heard on CBS Sports.
Looking to the end zone for the win! He caught it! Ball game! Chiefs to the championship game! These two guys know each other. Unbelievable. This is just unfathomable. The Bills had won this game. It was over. Josh Allen with a perfect postseason. And Patrick Mahomes somehow comes out there and shows the world, I'm still here. Oh, my gosh. One of the great games you'll ever see.
Glenn, it had to be heartbreaking for all the Bills fans and their outstanding quarterback, Josh Allen, who was amazing himself.
Yeah, he had two last-minute comebacks in the last 2 minutes, and that still proved not to be enough as that magician Mahomes pulls another one out of his hat. But exciting football. And sometimes, John, you know, I know our hometown teams were not in the playoffs this year. It can be more fun to watch stuff like we saw this weekend.
Absolutely, where you don't get hurt no matter what happens. You're rooting, may the best team win, and the Chiefs definitely showed what they're made of. So it was a lot of fun. As always, Glenn, thanks so much.
Hey, sure thing.
We begin every show and every hour giving thanks to our Lord for the many blessings, always praying through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, the Mother of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. Saint Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit here on Morning Air when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. As we do every morning, our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. The Apostle St. Paul writes, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. I will all the more gladly boast of my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. These verses are a powerful reminder that God's grace is all that we need, no matter what the challenge, no matter how tough it gets, no matter the hardship, His grace is sufficient. When we really feel weak, like we just can't go on, that's when we really need to understand that we can be strong if we trust in the Lord, if we trust with all our heart. And we always pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Now we're going to switch gears. We're going to continue the Be Formed series here on Morning Air. In previous episodes, we've talked about the first part of the Mass, and now we're starting with the second part of the Mass, the Liturgy of the Eucharist. Today, we're going to focus on the presentation and preparation of the gifts. Joining us now to continue his Be Formed series is our spiritual director, Father Burke Masters, Chicago Cubs Catholic chaplain known as the baseball priest, as well as the director for the Office of Adult Formation for the Diocese of Joliet, Illinois, and a longtime Morning Air contributor. Good morning, Father Burke. Thanks so much for joining us. Great to be with you again.
Thanks, John. Always good to be with you. And yeah, hearing the football highlights, that game last night was one of the most amazing games I've ever seen. The last 2 minutes of the fourth quarter and then the overtime, incredible.
Well, we know what a big sports fan you are, and especially a baseball fan. But last night, as a football fan, it was really, really one for the ages. And you know, it's also a reminder that you know, in sports, just like in life, you know, you can't always win. I mean, somebody's got to be the winner, somebody's got to be the loser. And unfortunately for the Buffalo Bill fans, Pat Mahomes was just too much.
Yeah, the quarterback play on both sides, Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, it may have been the best played at that position that I've seen. They just didn't make many mistakes at all. It was amazing. One of my good friends from seminary, Father Richard Rocha, is the chaplain for both the Chiefs and the Kansas City Royals football and baseball. And I was texting him. He was at the game. I said, "How's your heart doing?" And he said, "I think I've had two heart attacks already." it was just, you know, and I didn't have a strong preference either way in the game, but you know, if you're watching the game, you're just drawn into it. It was exciting.
Well, that chaplain's prayers were answered because it was truly a miracle, dramatic finish for the ages.
It was a shame, as you said, that somebody had to lose the game, because both teams played their hearts out. So Buffalo, you know, I thought they'd won it. They were up with 13 seconds left in the game. And as Glenn said, Patrick Mahomes is a magician. There's something inside saying he's got to find a way. And boy, he did. It was incredible.
You know, I normally try to get to bed early on Sunday nights, but I just could not get to bed until that one was over. So it was quite a thrill, Father.
Yeah. There's no way to walk away from that game in the last hour or so. It was just riveting.
For sure. In fact, the whole weekend was quite exciting, and you know, it was obviously disappointing for Tom Brady, who himself had an amazing comeback, but he also came up short with the Buccaneers losing to the Rams on a field goal as time ran out.
Yeah, I mean, they were down 27-3. It looked like they were dead in the water, and somehow he brought them back, and only to lose. Well, the first three games in the weekend were all last-second field goals, which is amazing. All won on the road. So Kansas City was the only team at home this weekend to win, which you know, usually that's a pretty good advantage in football, but only one of the four home teams won.
And again, we've talked about this in the past. That's the beauty of sports. It can bring our nation together. It can take our minds off of some of the real life issues that are going on, like the possibility of war in the Ukraine as we speak. That's the beauty of sports.
It does. It does have a way of, like you say, taking your mind off of things and just enjoying watching these guys use their God-given talents to entertain us. But then, of course, at the same time, we realize it is just a game. And then these things like what's happening in the Ukraine, it's real life and, you know, real people whose lives are in danger. So really going to have to pray for that situation. It's very serious. Not something that we'd think we'd see, you know, but boy, yeah.
No doubt. We can pray especially in Holy Mass. And in fact, let's talk about Mass and continuing our Be Formed series. Today we're going to focus in on the presentation and preparation of the gifts. Father Burke, can you talk about the altar and what the altar represents?
Yeah, so the altar at Mass represents two really important things. And while it represents the presence of Jesus among us, that's first and foremost, but it represents the table. So we are time traveling at Mass. We're at the Last Supper. So the altar represents, you know, Jesus and his 12 disciples gathered around that altar for the Last Supper, where Jesus says, "Take and eat, this is my body. Take and drink, this is my blood." But it's also the place of sacrifice. So we are transported to the foot of the cross at Calvary, where Jesus willingly offers himself back to the Father in reparation for our sins. And so what's happening at that altar is bringing us back to you know, the Last Supper, and we are at Calvary at the same time. So as you mentioned, we're going to be going over the presentation and preparation of the gifts. So on the altar, after the liturgy of the word finishes with the general intercessions, then the deacon, or if there's not a deacon, the priest prepares the altar, this place where this Jesus's sacrifice is going to be re-presented, puts the corporal. Remember, the corporal means body. This is where the body of Christ will be. A chalice, purificator, the missal, the Roman missal, and then the pall, the P-A-L-L, that's kind of the square covering that's placed on top of the chalice. And then outside of COVID, we normally have a procession of the gifts down the main aisle. Right now during COVID, generally those gifts are right next to the altar. And I think the biggest thing I want people to hear in the presentation of the gifts is that we are called to place our gifts on that, in that chalice and on the paten. Paten means plate. That's where the big host, the large celebrant host is. To think about, this isn't just like a nice ceremony, but we are putting our sacrifices, our lives, our struggles, our joys, our talents into the chalice and into the paten that'll be offered with Jesus back to the Father.
And Father Burke, these gifts have an origin in the Old Testament. There's Old Testament roots that we can see of the presentation of the gifts.
They do. So God, through Moses, gave instructions for the people to give their first fruits of their harvest to the priest. And this was a real sacrifice. You know, the first fruits were given, not knowing if there would be more fruits, you know. So it was a real act of trust in God that I'm giving you the first fruits that I have back to you, back to the priest who represents God. And so this is important for us as we talk about the presentation of the gifts. Like, what are the first fruits that I have? Yes, my financial offering, but also all of my time and talent, my gifts and treasure, everything I have, I'm offering back to God, that because I've received them from Him already. Because when we hear, and then right after the time of Christ, we have St. Justin Martyr in 155 AD saying, there's a custom of bringing the bread and wine to the priest after the prayers of intercession. So we not only have origins before Christ in the Old Testament of offering gifts to God, but then right after Jesus, we have the description basically of the Mass that we have today is described back in the second century by St. Justin Martyr.
And Father Burke, and we're joined this morning by Father Burke Masters, director of the Office of Adult Formation for the Diocese of Joliet, Illinois. Father Burke, I think it's also important to understand that this is a representation of the sacrifice of Calvary. Jesus is not being re-sacrificed again. We're entering into that once-for-all sacrifice.
Right. That's a common misconception, and one that I had as a non-Catholic. You know, I thought, you hear people say, well, those Catholics just re-crucify Jesus at every Mass, and that's not the case. As you say, Jesus died once for all, and what we're doing at Mass, at every Mass around the world, we're representing, we are actually at that one sacrifice that Jesus made for all time again, and we're time-traveling. And so sometimes we hear people say, oh, Mass is so boring, you know, it's the same thing over and over. But what we're hoping to do through Be Formed is to help people understand the beauty of the Mass. And if we understood what was going on at Mass, you know, we would be riveted. And, you know, so to think about, boy, I'm sitting around with Jesus and the disciples at the Last Supper, and I'm kneeling at the foot of the cross as Jesus willingly offers himself back to the Father. It's incredible. So try to keep that in mind the next time you go to Mass, and particularly as we talk about the presentation of the gifts, how am I taking part in this? How am I offering my sacrifice back to the Father? Because we hear those, what we call the Barakah prayers, Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation, for through your goodness, this is what the priest says as he lifts the large host over the altar. For through your goodness, we have received the bread we offer you, fruit of the earth and work of human hands. It will become for us the bread of life. So it's a sense that God has already given us everything, and what we're offering to him is what he's already given to us. In this case, the bread, but also think about our lives, our gifts and talents, our treasure, we're offering these back to God. And that's why our response is, blessed be God forever. It's this sense of to be thankful for every gift that we have, that it's all gift. And then the deacon, or if there's not a deacon, the priest will put wine into the chalice. And then you'll see him put a couple of drops of water, and he'll say this prayer, By the mystery of this water and wine, may we come to share in the divinity of Christ, who humbled himself to share in our humanity. So the wine represents Christ's divinity and his sacrifice, and the water represents our humanity and our sacrifice united with his. And then we say almost the same prayer with the wine and the water. Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation, for through your goodness we have received the wine we offer you, fruit of the vine and work of human hands. It will become our spiritual drink. And we respond, blessed be God forever. And so the biggest thing to remember then is we're offering to God our sacrifice in union with his one sacrifice that happened 2,000 years ago at Calvary.
Well, Father, I really appreciate you giving us some more deeper perspective of the importance of the preparation of the gifts, so that when we go to Mass next time, we can really contemplate on it a little bit more profoundly. As always, thanks so much for being with us, Father.
You're welcome, John. Have a blessed week.
You too. Father Burkmaster is the director for the Office of Adult Formation for the Diocese of Joliet, Illinois. We need to take a break. When Morning Air continues, you'll hear my conversation with Bishop Donald Hying, the Bishop of Madison, Wisconsin, who spoke to me about the spirituality of St. Francis de Sales. Stay with me. There's much more to come after this.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day with the issues that matter most. This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Now, today, as the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity wraps up tomorrow, Catholics are celebrating the life of St. Francis de Sales, a bishop and doctor of the Church. His preaching was so powerful that it brought back 40,000 to 70,000 Protestants to the Catholic faith, and his writings on the spiritual life have proved to be extremely influential over the centuries. Listen to my conversation with His Excellency Bishop Donald Hying, the Bishop of the Diocese of Madison, Wisconsin, who spoke to me about the spirituality of St. Francis de Sales. Your Excellency, Bishop Hying, thanks so much for joining us once again. Always, always a blessing to be with you.
Good morning, John and Glenn. Always a joy to be with you. Thank you for all that you do.
Excellency, can you share with us a brief summary of the life of this great saint, St. Francis de Sales, bishop and doctor of the Church? What made him so special?
I've always had a great devotion to him, mostly because I went to St. Francis de Sales Seminary in Milwaukee, but he's really been a spiritual guide for me. He was born of nobility in France during the time of the Reformation. His father wanted him to become a lawyer and then a judge. So his father had this whole life laid out for him, even had his bride picked out for him. And Francis discerned a call to the priesthood and kind of said no to all of his father's plans. It created a rift between them for a while. He became a priest and was eventually appointed Bishop of Geneva, Switzerland, which was the capital of Calvinism. So he couldn't even go into his own diocese without fearing for his life. So his base of operations was a city called Annecy, which is in the foothills of the French Alps. He would stealthily go into his diocese. He also famously and publicly debated Protestant thinkers of the day, and often at the end of the debate, the Protestant would convert back to Catholicism. You know, as you mentioned, he was extremely influential in bringing many Protestants back to the Church. So he had this beautiful fusion of truth and love. He was tremendously compassionate, gentlemanly, kind. So he spoke the truth, but in such a way that people were drawn into it, coming to know the mercy and the love of Jesus. He was friends with people like St. Vincent de Paul, and with St. Jean Francis de Chantal, he founded the Visitation Order of Sisters, which is tremendously, exponentially growing, you know, in those early years of their foundation. But his greatest legacy to us, I think, is his book, The Introduction to the Devout Life.
We're talking about the life and the spirituality of St. Francis de Sales, a bishop and doctor of the church. As the bishop was talking about, this saint was a prolific preacher, and there are reports that he was personally responsible for bringing back anywhere between 40 and 70,000 Protestants back to the Catholic fold, just from his powerful preaching. And so it's very interesting. It's very impressive. This was at a time right at the time right after the Reformation, when all of this was going on. And it's very fitting that we're talking about this wonderful saint, Saint Francis de Sales, here during this week of prayer for Christian unity, which we are praying for Christian unity during these days. That's what our church has been doing for many years, you know, praying for Christian unity.
So I was just saying that I think the greatest legacy of St. Francis was introduction to the devout life, because in many ways he prefigures the Second Vatican Council and saw that every person by virtue of baptism is called to radical holiness. That's not just for priests and religious. And not only that, but every person in their particular life is called to find their path to God. You know, so he says, it'd be ridiculous for a cloistered nun to think she's going to live as a mother of five, or a businessman in the world to have the same spirituality as a priest. And also just people's particular temperaments. So I think he was very precocious in the sense that there is this universal call to holiness that the Second Vatican Council, you know, truly lifted up in Lumen Gentium, you know, which is the constitution on the church. So he has a lot to say to us today about just living a life of what he would call devotion, which is taking our love for God to its natural degree of generosity.
And he really was a visionary, because this whole idea of the universal call to holiness is something that he was talking about centuries, four centuries before Vatican II.
No, that's exactly right. And especially saw that the laity in the world needed clear direction, because, you know, they're surrounded by so many material worldly things that you don't have to leave the world to find Christ, you know, and as Christ says, we're in the world but not of the world. So I think in a particular way, you know, the laity are called to sanctify the world, and, you know, the church and especially priests and bishops need to help the laity to do that well.
Would you say that his famous book, An Introduction to the Devout Life, is probably his greatest achievement? And also, can you talk a little bit about some of the themes from that book, some of the virtues that St. Francis de Sales tried to teach all of us that are still in play today, virtues like patience and humility, gentleness, and obedience?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say Introduction to the Devout Life is his greatest legacy, and I think it's the most enduring gift that he leaves to the Church Universal. And the fact that it's still popular today, 400 years later, you know, speaks for itself. But yeah, in the book, I particularly like he teaches a method of prayer, where he says everybody should spend an hour in prayer a day, if possible, and in that holy hour, to begin by really putting yourself in the presence of God. He says, imagine Jesus sitting next to you. Imagine Jesus looking down at you from heaven. Imagine and remember that the Holy Spirit is within your heart. So there's this preparation time of really being profoundly aware of God's presence. Then he presents a particular theme. You know, and one of the themes is that you were born, you were created for a relationship with God, and that everything in your life needs to lead to that, and anything that doesn't is a distraction and needs to be discarded. So it takes you through about 10, 12 themes, but it's really a profound methodology of prayer. And then he does talk about the virtues, you know, especially docility to the Holy Spirit. Speaks a lot about not losing one's patience, you know, just being grounded in the love of the Lord, you know, not letting anything ultimately throw us, because we're held in the hands of God himself.
It's quite obvious that St. Francis de Sales was a holy man. Do you think that that holiness came across, and that was probably the reason why his preaching was so powerful, that he was able to influence you know, upwards of 70,000 Protestants to come back to their Catholic faith?
it's not only the words we speak, it's the life we live. And I think the saints, you know, are always pictured with halos. You know, that halo represents the radiance of God, not only shining upon them, but I think, you know, shining through them and from them. You know, so you think of, in our own day, you know, Mother Teresa, St. John Paul II, I think that there was a radiance about them that was attractive, that was charismatic, that drew people to God through them. You know, so the saints become icons, I think, through which we can see that radiance of God shining upon the world. And obviously that's our mission as well.
No doubt. Your Excellency, Pope Benedict XVI once said that St. Francis de Sales' secret to holiness was his unreserved trust in God. Another great example that he actually lived by.
Yeah, think of the time he lived in. You know, people were literally killing each other over religion, you know, over the Protestant Reformation. And it was a very tumultuous time of tremendous violence and conflict, not unlike our own. People were very polarized and divided. And into that, he simply stepped with the sweetness of the gospel, you know, both the truth of the gospel, but also the compassion and the mercy of the gospel. And did so in such a way that people were drawn to him. And it makes me think of the humanity of Christ. You know, the humanity of Jesus was perfect. So it must have been a profound magnet for people, that people were drawn to Jesus' humanity. And in that being drawn in, then they came to realize that he was God, and you know, they came to be saved through him. But the original thing they experienced was his humanity. So I think it's why in seminary formation, you know, we focus on human formation so much, and properly so.
Bishop Hying, it's pretty evident that St. Francis de Sales was passionate about sharing the fullness of the Christian faith, of sharing Catholicism. And I think it's so fitting that his feast day coming up this coming Monday falls right towards the end of the week of prayer for Christian unity, something that we do every year. He's a perfect saint. As an example, with his heart for the Protestants and his interdenominational dialogue.
Yeah, just wanting to live the unity that Christ so ardently prayed for, you know, in his great priestly prayer at the Last Supper, that all may be one. And you know, sadly, we still live these divisions. But if we go back to Christ and the Church and, you know, the original intention of the Lord, we see there the unity that we can find, the unity that comes in the Church as the body of Christ. Exactly.
Bishop Hying, I'm so moved, as obviously you are, by the example of St. Francis de Sales. In fact, I have a little holy card that was given to me. I don't even remember where I got this, and I keep it in a little prayer book that I have. It's called Your Cross, and it's by St. Francis de Sales. I wanted to share just a few words real quickly with our audience from St. Francis de Sales. It's called Your Cross. The everlasting God has in his wisdom foreseen from eternity the cross that he now presents to you as a gift from his inmost heart. This cross he now sends you, he has considered with his all-knowing eyes, understood with his divine mind, tested with his wise justice, warmed with his loving arms, and weighed with his own hands to see that is not 1 inch too large and not 1 ounce too heavy for you. He has blessed it with his body, with his name, anointed it with his grace, perfumed it with his consolation, taken one last glance at you and your courage, and then sent it to you from heaven, a special greeting from God to you, an alms of the all-merciful love of God, St. Francis de Sales. Powerful words, Excellency.
It changes everything, right? I mean, if you take that to heart and then we look at our problems, our sufferings, our crosses, we really get that supernatural perspective that this is part of God's plan for me, and therefore it must be ultimately for the good. You know, and if we can hang on to that when we're hanging on the cross, then we have that supernatural vision that takes us beyond the limits of this life, you know, to the glory of heaven.
Final thoughts on what else we can learn from St. Francis de Sales in anticipation of his feast day this Monday.
I think to not be afraid to simply enter into conversation with people about faith, to not be afraid to give witness to the Lord in the public square, to do so with gentleness and mercy, but also to not refrain from speaking the truth, You know, so truth spoken in love and compassion has a tremendous power, because that was the hallmark of Jesus preaching. So we go and do the same, and Francis de Sales shows us how to do that.
Outstanding. Excellency, can you give us your blessing?
May Almighty God bless all of you, all of our listeners, and give them today the mercy and power of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And we ask this blessing, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us, Excellency Bishop Donald Hying. Really, really appreciated. Your insights are so valuable for our audience.
Well, thanks so much, John. God bless you.
And that was Bishop Donald Hying, the Bishop of the Diocese of Madison, Wisconsin, who talked to us about the spirituality of St. Francis de Sales, this great saint that we're celebrating on this day. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll hear from some of the many pro-lifers who attended the National March for Life in Washington, D.C. last Friday. Stay with us. There's much more to come on Morning Air after this.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
From Maui to Maine, you're listening to Morning Air with John Morales.
Coast to coast on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales. On Friday, despite the cold weather, an estimated crowd of 100 to 150,000 pro-lifers were on hand at the annual March for Life in Washington, D.C. to mark the 49th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, that 1973 U.S. Supreme Court decision that legalized abortion on demand in all 50 states, resulting in 63 million aborted babies. The 2022 March for Life had some very, very great moments. There was a strong spirit of hope as the U.S. Supreme Court considers overturning Roe v. Wade in the Dobbs case. The theme of this year's march was Equality Begins in the Womb. Our very own Relevant Radio correspondent Matt Beardsley was in Washington, D.C., and he spoke to a ton of folks from the March for Life.
As we stand one step closer to saving the unborn, I encourage you, keep marching, keep advocating, keep praying, keep fighting, because ultimately, we will prevail.
We meet this year with fresh hope and heightened expectation that by at least affirming the Mississippi pro-life law, and perhaps going even further with Texas, the Supreme Court may soon take a powerful step towards inclusion, justice, and respect for the weakest and most vulnerable. We are here to say equality begins in the womb, and the injustice of abortion need not be forever.
My name is Candy Shaw from Indianapolis, Indiana. I am 36 years old and I have Down syndrome. It makes me very sad to think of all the friends I have that I might have lost if their parents did not believe equality starts in the womb. You got ready to march?
Ready to march and show the country why we're here. I mean, that's why we're here, is to say that us young people nowadays, we support life, and that's what we're going to stand for. I wandered around your darkened land all night, but I lift
up my eyes to a new height. Teamwork, holy teamwork. The way that abortion is going to end is through teamwork. Everyone doing their part. Symbolically, it's the beginning of the end. It makes me feel great. It's kind of like when I ran up Pikes Peak and I got to the top. You're like, well, I made it to the top. Guess what? You got to run back down. or whether it's Mount Kilimanjaro this past July with Bishop Coffey and Dolores Meehan and Bernadette Costello, where the Life Runners went up the highest freestanding mountain in the world and put a Remember the Unborn flag at the top and showered it from the mountaintops, the truth. But you got to go back down. So how it feels is, okay, here we are, we made it to the top, but now we need to work our way back down to establish that culture of life. We still have work to do. We gotta work one state at a time. We are untwisting that culture of death, reestablishing as God intended, life and life abundantly in a culture of life.
We need to remind everybody, prayer is not insignificant. So remember what happened at Lepanto. Remember what has happened over the year. Pray. Pray for success this summer. And you know what? Our Blessed Mother isn't going to let us down.
Roe is not settled law.
Star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Powerful moments from this year's March for Life. Our thanks to our very own March for Life correspondent, Matt Beardsley, and producer Mariano Gomez for just a tremendous job in putting together this look back package. I want to bring in Glenn. Glenn, you've reported on so many of these March for Lives over the years. Could this have been the very last one with Roe v. Wade on the verge of being overturned?
Everyone says it had that feeling that there was almost a celebratory feeling of people knowing that the end, in a sense, was near. Now, there'll still be battles on a state-by-state basis, even if Roe goes away. But everybody seems to say it felt different this year.
Absolutely. I thought that Katie Shaw really stole the day. She really represented what it means. Equality begins in the womb. Katie, of course, with Down syndrome, and she spoke from the heart and touched so many hearts there of all those young people on hand.
And John, would you have 1 minute? I have some audio from the Minnesota March for Life, a state senator who was advised to eliminate one of her twins when she was pregnant.
Absolutely.
Decided not to. All right, let's hear that. This is State Senator Julia Coleman from Saturday's Sub-Zero Wind Chill March for Life, attended by thousands in Minnesota.
If I said there weren't nights I couldn't sleep with the doctor's voice swirling in my mind, wondering if I was condemning both of my babies to die by not heeding their advice. My older brother called me, and as older brothers do, gave me the advice I needed to hear. He told me that if he were in the same scenario and had a say, he'd want to fight it out with his brother. He'd want to be born early with his brother, to fight in the NICU with his brother, to risk his life for his brother. That's when I started sleeping at night again. I knew we had made the right choice. Doctors said Charles wouldn't make it past 28 weeks. They said there was a 65% chance he'd be born with a physical and developmental disability. They said there was a slim chance we'd be bringing both of our babies home. Defying all odds, Charles and James were born perfectly healthy at 33 weeks.
Again, State Senator from Minnesota, Julia Coleman, sharing her story and inviting everyone to share that story over and over again as well. When she ran for office, was given a hard time because she was pregnant at the time, and later when she had twins, she had to really almost fight with the doctors to say, nope, we're keeping them both. And I just love that tidbit from her older brother saying, hey, I'd like to fight with my brother, right? I'd fight in ICU with my brother, you know. And we know the connection twins have to kind of even take care of one another at times. And through all of that, life won out, John.
Without a doubt. And, The March for Life in Washington, D.C. was just part of the story. There were marches all over the United States, two big marches on the West Coast with the West Coast Walk for Life in San Francisco and the One Life L.A., a ton of people on hand, a lot of powerful moments in those marches as well. There was also a march in Austin, Texas, the Texas Rally for Life. I believe that life is winning in America, Glenn.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about that. And just more and more evidence of that on a state-by-state basis as more states, including we had in the news this morning, South Dakota, looking to emulate that pro-life move in Texas that outlaws abortion after a baby's heartbeat is detected. It saved, as we've said many times, 100 to 150 babies a day since that was enacted in September.
And I think that the tens of thousands of signs at the March for Life said it all. We are the post-Roe generation. Now it's time for another episode of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today called It's a Process. When my mom was cleaning out her house over 23 years ago to sell it, I wasn't very sympathetic over her attachments to things. I'd go over on weekends to help her, and we'd go through things, things for a yard sale, things to donate, things to throw away. I'd usually get upset over how long it was taking her to decide. For instance, we were going through kitchen cabinets, and she spent 20 minutes looking at an iron kettle with a lid. Finally, I said, Mom, at this rate, it'll take another 2 years. She told me that her mother used to make meals in that kettle and then leave the kettle at doorsteps of neighbors during the Depression. Mom would deliver the meals, and then the neighbors would reappear back at her door with an apron or a wood carving, something in return for the meal. And I realized that everything my mom was going through was really a reliving of her life. If you're hearing this and are under, say, the age of 60, you may not get it. You haven't lived long enough. Most have not had to move their parents yet into a nursing home or emptied their home. You might not have lived long enough to realize that the hours you spend, say, picking out the right cabinets or perfect tile will not be what in later years you remember. It'll be the handmade toothbrush holder or a picture you got on vacation. So if your parents are downsizing, moving to a smaller place, selling a home, give your mom and dad a break. Those things that you don't understand why they just can't pitch and why you think you know what needs to be tossed or saved, give them a little time to make their decisions. They're saying goodbye to their past and realizing that they're getting ready for their end life while you're still in the beginning parts of yours. As I've been going through things, it's amazing just how hard it is to get rid of objects. But life goes on and you realize they're just things, but sometimes things comfort us. So give your parents or grandparents a break. Listen to their stories. Because in 40 years, when you're going through those boxes and those memories come back, it'll be hard to get rid of those plastic champagne flutes you and your late husband used at a New Year's party 40 years ago. You'll think nothing about the tile or light fixtures that seemed so important then. As happy as they are for you, as much as they love you, you don't have a clue till it happens to you. And then you remember how you rushed them, and it could make you sad, especially if they're already gone and you can't say, I'm sorry, I didn't get it. Exodus 20:12, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you.
Thanks so much, Glenn. And of course, you can always download any of Glenn's podcasts, Glenn's Story Corners on the podcast at relevantradio.com. That'll do it for this edition of Morning Air. For Glenn, for producers, Gabby Berg, Mariano Gomez, Sarah Tafoya, the entire Morning Air team, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. I want to leave you with the timeless words of my hero, Pope St. John Paul II. John Paul the Great, the Pope of the culture of life. America, you are beautiful and blessed. The ultimate test of your greatness is the way that you treat every human being, but especially the weakest and most defenseless. If you want equal justice for all and true freedom and lasting peace, then America, defend life. The Patrick Madrid Show is next.